Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 26, entitled King Puranjana Goes to the Forest to Hunt. Text 8. Anyatha karma kurvano manarudho nibadhyate guna pravaha patito nashta prajno vrajatyadha. Translation. Otherwise, a person who acts whimsically falls down due to false prestige. Thus, he becomes involved in the laws of nature, which are composed of the three qualities, goodness, passion, and ignorance. In this way, a living entity becomes devoid of his real intelligence and becomes perpetually lost in the cycle of birth and death. Thus he goes up and down from a microbe in stool to a high position in the Brahmaloka planet. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. This is a very long purport. So, there are many important words in this verse. The first is anyatha, otherwise, which indicates one who does not care for the Vedic rules and regulations. The rules and regulations laid down in the Vedas are called Shastra Vidhi. Bhagavad Gita clearly states that one who does not accept the Shastra Vidhi or rules and regulations mentioned in the Vedas, Vedic scriptures, and acts whimsically or puffed up with false pride, never attains perfection in this life, nor does he attain happiness or liberation from the material condition. Ya shastra vidhim utsrija vartate kama karatah na sasidhim avapnoti na sukham na param gatim. He who discards spiritual injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination. Thus, one who is deliberately transgressing the rules and regulations of the Shastras is simply involving himself more and more in material existence, in the three modes of material nature. Human society should therefore follow the Vedic principles of life, which are summarized in Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, life in material existence will continue. Foolish persons do not know that the soul is passing through 8,400,000 species of life. By the gradual process of evolution, when one comes to the human form of life, he is supposed to follow the rules and regulations laid down in the Vedas. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that the living entity, since time immemorial, is suffering the three false miseries of material nature due to his demoniac attitude, which is his spirit of revolt against the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna also confirms this in Bhagavad Gita. Mama evamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashasthani indriyani prakriti sthani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Every living entity is part and parcel of God. There is no reason for the living entities being put into miserable threefold condition of material existence, but that he voluntarily accepts material existence on the false pretext of becoming an enjoyer. To save him from this horrible condition, the Lord has given all the Vedic literatures in his incarnation as Vyasadeva. It is therefore said, Krishna boli sei jiva anadi bahir muka ateva maya taradeya samsara dukha. By forgetting Krishna, the living entity has become materialistic since time immemorial. Therefore, the illusory energy of Krishna is giving him different types of miseries and material existence. Maya mugda jivera na istava Krishna jnana jivere kripaya koila Krishna veda purana. When a living entity is enchanted by the external energy, he cannot revive his original Krishna consciousness independently. Due to such circumstances, Krishna has kindly given him the Vedic literatures, such as the four Vedas and 18 Puranas. Every human being should therefore take advantage of the Vedic instructions. Otherwise, one will be bound by his whimsical activities and will be without any guide. The word mana rudha is also very significant in this verse. Under the pretext of becoming great philosophers and scientists, men throughout the whole world are working on the mental platform. Such men are generally non-devotees, due to not caring for the instructions given by the Lord to the first living creature, Lord Brahma. The Bhagavatam therefore says, Harava bhaktasya kuto mahat guna manoratenasati dhavato bahi. A person who is a non-devotee has no good qualifications because he acts on the mental platform. One who acts on the mental platform has to change his standard of knowledge periodically. We consequently see that one philosopher may disagree with another philosopher, and one scientist may put forward a theory contradicting the theory of another scientist. All of this is due to their working on the mental platform without a standard of knowledge. In this Vedic instructions, however, the standard of knowledge is accepted, even though it may sometimes appear that the statements are contradictory. Because the Vedas are the standard of knowledge, even though they may appear contradictory, they should be accepted. If one does not accept them, he will be bound by the material conditions. The material conditions are described in this verse as guna pravaha, the flowing of the three modes of material nature. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur therefore says in a song, Miche mayar vashe yacha bhese kacha habududubu bhai. Why are you suffering? Why are you sometimes being drowned in the waves of material nature and sometimes coming to the surface? Jiva Krishna Das e Vishwas Kalitara Dhukanai. Please therefore accept yourself as the servant of Krishna. Then you will be freed from all miseries. As soon as one surrenders to Krishna and accepts the perfect standard of knowledge, which is Bhagavad Gita as it is, he then comes out of the material modes of nature and does not fall down and lose his knowledge. Nashta prajna. The word prajna means perfect knowledge. And nashta prajna means one who has no perfect knowledge. One who does not have perfect knowledge has only mental speculation. By such mental speculation, one falls down and down into a hellish condition of life. By transgressing the laws laid down in the Shastras, one cannot become pure in heart. When one's heart is not purified, one acts according to the three material modes of nature. These activities are very nicely explained in verses 1 through 6 of the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita further explains, Traigunya vishaya veda nishtraigunyo bhavarjuna nirdvandvo nitya satvastho niryoga kshema atmavan. The Vedas mainly deal with the subject of the three modes of material nature. Rise above these modes, O Arjuna. Be transcendental to all of them. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the Self. The entire world and all material knowledge is within the three modes of material nature. One has to transcend these modes, and to attain that platform of transcendence, one must follow the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become perfect in life. Otherwise, one will be knocked down by the waves of the material nature's three modes. This is further explained in Srimad Bhagavatam in the words of Prahlad Maharaj. Matirna Krishne parata svatova mito bipadyita griyavratanam adanta gobir vishatam tamisrang puna punash charvita charvananam. Materialistic persons who are too much engaged in material enjoyment and who do not know anything beyond their material experiences are carried by the whims of material nature. They live a life characterized by chewing the chewed, and they are controlled by their uncontrolled senses. Thus, they go down to the darkest regions of hellish life. Om Gyanati Marandasya Gnanjana Chalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Kuruti Vachalam Bangum Langyati Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Vancha Kalpatirubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyo Vichapaditanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna 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 Hari Hari Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare.
Okay.
So all auspiciousness comes by from the Vedas. The Vedas are sometimes called apurusheya, which means there is no further evidence. This is the absolute truth, and it is the breathing of Lord Vishnu. And this material world is a complicated world, and the laws of nature are complicated and also very severe. We become entangled by the laws of karma when we're in this world. And when you buy a very nice, sophisticated device, like a computer, a laptop or something, you need also the instruction manual. So Krishna, he gave the Vedas along with the material world to the living entity, so that we can understand how to live properly in the material world. And so the Vedas are all auspicious. There is this symbol, the swastika, and which means all auspiciousness. This is a Vedic system. But those who don't follow, they are called nastika. Those who follow the Vedic injunctions are astik. And those who don't follow, nashtika. And then it becomes very, very auspicious. Then we make a mess of this world. We don't know how to use it properly, this body and the material world. And so therefore we have to follow. But how do the Vedas come to us? The Vedas come to us because Lord Vishnu reveals all that knowledge to Lord Brahma, and then the system of the cyclic succession. Evam parampara praptam imam raja shajo vidu sakalaniya mata guyogo nashta parandapa. The supreme science was thus received to the chain of the cyclic succession, Krishna says to Arjuna. So this chain consists of acharyas. An acharya is an authorized teacher of the absolute truth, of the Vedic knowledge. Only pure devotees of the Lord can be bona fide acharyas. And our Lord Brahma As a pure devotee, he receives the knowledge from Krishna and delivers it to his disciple Narada. Then it is passed over to Vyasa. And Vyasa, he wrote down all the Vedic literatures for the people of Kali Yuga. Because in Kali Yuga we cannot receive Shabda Brahma from the ear like that. Because we can listen, of course, but there's a problem right here somewhere. Bad memory. So therefore it has to be recorded in scriptures. So in the Devanagari and the Sanskrit language, it has been written down. Sri Ganesh helped. He took the pen in the hand and started writing. And he never ends. This writing of the Vedas is still going on in Badrik Ashram, somewhere on the roof of planet Earth, the roof, the highest place in planet Earth, in the Himalayas. There, Vyasadeva in Badrik Ashram, he is still reciting Vedic knowledge. And so the acharyas are very important, the authorities are very important. They are 100% surrendered to the spiritual master. Of course, Krishna is the Adi Guru, he is the original Guru. So Lord Brahma is 100% surrendered to Krishna, and then Narada Muni is 100% surrendered to Brahma. And in this way it continues. So they are called also the Bhaktivedantas. The Bhaktivedantas, they really understand the ultimate essence of the Vedas. And so our dear Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, he also wrote and he also has been speaking. You know, by his mercy, we receive the mercy of Krishna. Yasya prasadam bhagavat prasado, yasya prasadam nagati kutopi, dayan stuvans tasyaya sastri sandhyam, vande guru shri charanaravindam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, one receives the mercy of Krishna. Without the grace of the spiritual master, no one can make any advancement. Therefore, I should always think of my spiritual master. And at least 3 times a day, I should offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. There's a very nice verse. It's a song by Srila Narottam Das Thakur. Srila Narottam Das sings, Tandera charana sevi bhakta sanivas, janame janame hoy eyabilash. One must worship the lotus feet of the acharya and live within the society of devotees. Then one's endeavor to cross over nations will surely be successful. We have to cross over nations, and that will be successful if we worship the acharya, Srila Prabhupada, and we live in the association of devotees, and we study the Vedas. And Srila Prabhupada translated the most essential Vedic literatures. For example, Srimad Bhagavatam is called the ripened fruit of Vedic literature. It is the best, the king of all the Vedic literatures. Most confidential also. It is actually meant for the Paramahamsas, for the most advanced spiritualists. And so Srila Prabhupada translated Srimad Bhagavatam. And just like Lord Chaitanya, without discrimination, distributing love of God to everyone freely, without considering the position of the person, just giving it to everyone. He gave the highest, he gave the Srimad Bhagavatam to the most fallen, the patitas. So, and also Srila Prabhupada translated Bhagavad Gita. So, to cross over, it says here, to cross over the ocean of nations, in order to become situated in transcendental existence, one first has to cross over an ocean of nations. And therefore the Vedas are sometimes technically called Setu. Setu means a bridge. A bridge by which one can cross over the ocean of nations. So, the Vedas are compared also sometimes to favorable winds. In the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the material body, the human form of life, is compared to a boat by which one can cross over the ocean of nations. Yeah. And the spiritual master is compared to the expert captain who can navigate, yeah, and guide the ship very safely. And Krishna, he has sent favorable winds. That's a sailing ship. With a sailing ship, you need wind. There's no engine there. So, therefore, the Vedas are considered to be favorable winds. And the Vedas are also compared to a mother. The mother is the Hare Krishna Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath. The mother is considered to be the best authority in order to point out who is the father. She can tell you who your father is in case you don't know. It could be. Then the mother certainly can tell. So similarly, the Vedas are the mother who can tell who the Supreme Father is. And Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, Aham Bija Pradapita, I am the seed-giving father of all that lives. So people that don't follow the Vedas, they are called also Malechas. And someone who follows the Vedic values is called an Aryan. And another term is a Dasadava, he who abides by the Shastras. What is the purpose of the Vedas? The Vedanta, the ultimate conclusion. Because the Vedas give so many principles. In the verse today, and Srila Prabhupada deliberately gives very nice explanations why we have to abide by the Vedas, and that is the topic today. Disobedience or obedience? That's the question. It's very important. In the first place, we became disobedient to Krishna. We left him. We wanted to be independent and enjoy in the material world. But Krishna gives us a chance to turn back, to return back to him, to become situated righteous again. So, the essence of all the Vedas is summarized by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is considered to be the essence of the Vedas summarized. In 1 hour, he spoke all Vedic knowledge to Arjuna, in about 1 hour, approximately. Then, in the second chapter, the essence of the Bhagavad Gita is also summarized. It's even more summarized. And then, the essence is summarized in the last verse of the second chapter. Esha brahmistiti partha nainam prapya vimuyati stitvasyam antakalepi brahma nirvanam ricchati. This is the way of the spiritual and godly life after attaining which a man is not bewildered. Being so situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. So, what is the way of the spiritual and godly life? That's to surrender to Krishna. And then one can enter to the kingdom of God. Go back to Godhead. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport there, one can become Krishna conscious within a fraction of a second, within a moment. But it can also be the fact that after many millions of lifetimes, one still is not Krishna conscious. And then Srila Prabhupada says that it is simply a matter of understanding and accepting. So accepting, understanding and accepting. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada also once he said in a in a in a in an assembly of Indian people who all knew Bhagavad Gita very well. Some pandits were there, some learned scholars. And then he asked them the question, what do you think is the most essential verse of the Bhagavad Gita? And someone said, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto Matyajimam Namaskuru. And someone else said, Sarvadharmam Parityaja. And Srila Prabhupada said, that's fine, that's all fine. He said, but actually, the real essence of Bhagavad Gita is Tat viripranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinaha. Where Krishna says, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So therefore, we have to approach the bona fide spiritual master who doesn't misinterpret Vedic literatures. He has seen the truth. He is self-realized. He is a pure devotee of Krishna. So he is sadhava. He is really abiding by the scriptures. And so the purpose, how to achieve this, okay, I said that. Let me see, what else do I say? What did I write down? So Krishna gives many, there are so many injunctions in the Veda, so many principles to follow, but the Bhaktivedanta or the Siddhanta is actually to become Krishna conscious. It is even said in the scriptures that even if you follow all the Vedas and all the rules and you perform all your duties and pious activities and you have given in charity and you performed sacrifices and you practice Ashtanga Yoga and you can do so many wonderful things. But if you don't become a devotee of the Lord, then it's like Shrama Eva Ikevalam. You know, you can work very hard to do so many pious things. So all these things are like zeros, but when Krishna is put in front of them, Krishna is the one. I say God is one. Yeah, he's the one that you put in front of all the zeros. And then the more zeros you have, if the one is put in front of that, you become very, very wealthy. Very, very wealthy. So therefore, the most important instructions are, like Krishna says, janma karma cha medivam evam yovati tatvaha tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam meti sarjuna, that we have to try to learn to understand his appearance, his qualities, his activities. And then if we do that, if we understand who Krishna really is, then we become liberated from repeated burden that, and we go back to him, to the spiritual world. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhyajimam namaskuru mami vaishasi yugdvaivam atmanam madprayana. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, worship me, offer your obeisances unto me. If when you're always absorbed in me like that, then surely you will come to me. Savai mana Krishna padaravindayo. One should fix his mind 24 hours a day on Krishna. And if we do that, everything becomes wonderful. And then paramananda, the greatest happiness. Abhaya, we become fearless, and also dhira, undisturbed. Then there is no more anxiety. That is the best thing to do. And if we don't do that, we become disappointed. We become disappointed. Whatever we do in this world, if it is not in relation to Krishna, then we become disappointed. In this, I would like to give a small illustrative story about how disappointment can come in this world. I heard that story from a class of Indrajumna Maharaj. It's a funny story, but it is said it is a true story. It really happened some times ago. Once upon a time, there was a very wealthy American businessman, and his hobby was hunting. He would go to forests everywhere and hunt with a shotgun on wild animals. And his dream was that once upon a day, sometime in the future, I will catch me a Russian bear. So he wanted to hunt on a Russian bear, because Russian bears, they're supposed to be very fierce and very frightening and very big. And so somehow or other, he got this crazy idea in his, he got this crazy desire. And then many years later, he retired. He got his pension, and all the employees from him and his friends and family, they wanted to present a gift to him. So he got this gift, and he opened the envelope, and there it was, the ticket for Moscow. A ticket for Moscow. So he was very happy. Oh, at last I can fulfill my long-cherished desire to hunt a Russian bear. So he went to Moscow, and he stayed in the hotel overnight, and he started to inquire and ask people, do you know how I could find some kind of company that organizes trips to the forest to hunt bears? I want to catch me a Russian bear. And then somehow or other he happened to meet some cheaters, some criminal people, and they thought, let's get some money out of this old man and cheat him a little bit, so trick him. So then they told this man, we know there is a bear right here in Moscow. There is a very ferocious, dangerous, horrible creature of a bear. And he is somewhere in the park. They come, they hide in the parks here. This man said, no, you're kidding me. No, it's really true. You pay us in advance, and you just stay here in this park, at the side of the road, and be sure you load your rifle, your heavy caliber rifle, and because the bear will come. So he paid them a large amount of money, and they would arrange the bear to come down that path in the park. But it is so that in the very close to the park there was a zoo. And what they do in Russia, they have this national Moscow state circus, and they train bears to do all kinds of tricks. And so they tame these bears. But for some time, they keep them in the Moscow zoo. And then they stay there until the circus goes again, and then it goes with the circus. So then these culprits, they went to the zoo, and they released the bear. So the bear took off, and he was wandering around. Oh, where to go? Shall I go to the park? That is the nearest. Yeah. And then he walked the bear. Whoa, like that. Very happy. I'm free. And then there was a mailman, a postman, delivering post next to the park. And he was on a bicycle, and he stood there next to his bicycle with an envelope in his hand, and he encountered a bear. So he really was scared, and he flee, he ran off. And then the bear, he picked up the bicycle, stepped on the bicycle, because that is what circus bears do. They really do. I saw it once in a film about circus. They can ride bicycles. So this bear, he stepped on the bicycle, and he drove towards that road, along that road. So this man was still waiting there for a couple of hours already, and I was thinking, is there really a bear coming? Maybe he doesn't come. And then all of a sudden he saw something coming to him, towards him. And it came closer and closer. And then he witnessed a large bear on a bicycle. And this old man, he was quite old. He was about 65, of course, or 70. When he saw the bear, he was so astonished that he got a shock, and then he got a heart attack, and he died. So this story illustrates the disappointment in material life. Anyway, it was a funny story. I had to tell it. What time is it? Okay. So therefore, when we meet Krishna from face to face, that also is a shock. But it's a very, very, very nice shock. We won't get a heart attack. Our heart will melt. And we will immediately be completely purified. So, therefore, the Krishna consciousness is called Yoga Ruda, the topmost platform of yoga. Yoginam api sarvisham, the greatest yogi is the devotee. Krishna Surya Sam, Maya Haya Andakar. Krishna is like the sun, Maya is like darkness. If Krishna is always there in our consciousness, then there can be no Maya. When the sun shines, there is no question of darkness. So Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Krishna consciousness means Krishna is everything. That's what we have to see. Everything is Krishna. Maya means that which is not. If we see something and we think that is not Krishna, then that is Maya, that which is not. Because everything is Krishna. Can you still follow? Okay. So everything is Krishna. So, therefore, the ultimate essence of all Vedic knowledge is also given in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text 15. Vedaisya sarvairaham eva vedyo vedantikrit vedavit eva cham. The purpose of all the Vedas, of all the Vedas, I am to be known. Yeah, of all the Vedas, I am to be known. Vedanta Krit, I am the author of the Vedas. Vedavit, I am the knower. Krishna's three kalagya, sarvagya. He knows past, present, future, everything he knows, sarvagya, anything. So when he writes down something, it's definitely perfect. There is no imperfections there. So we have a disease in this world, bhavarog. And the cure for this disease is called Bhavo Sada, Krishna Katha. And that is the essence. It has become Krishna conscious. And all the other principles, Vedic principles, are secondary. They can develop. When we start with Krishna, Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? About what?
Surrender, understanding, and acceptance. So I never really understood how can we surrender.
I once heard that there are short-term goals and long-term goals, which is like you can. It seems maybe to be very difficult or impossible to immediately become a perfect Mahabhagavat or something like that. It could be a long-term goal, like. So short-term goals are all the different things that we could, which are realistic for us. We are conditioned. We are, so it takes some time to get out of that and to practice, you know, reasonable, achievable things, you know. Like Confucius says, a long journey starts with the first step. And there are stepping stones, you know, like you have pebbles and or rocks in a river. You can step on each one of them. And so in this way you can progress gradually but very steadily. And we have to... So, but Krishna, tesam satata yugdanam bhajatam prit purvakam, he will reveal to us how we can come to him, how we can make quick spiritual advancement. If we are very sincere, and we have this lolium, we have this intense desire to make spiritual advancement, then it will go quick. It can be very quick. But, Bhugaisvarya prasuktanam, taya prasitachitasam. If we have material desires too much, and we give into it even, then that slows down the process like anything. The anarthas should be quickly disappearing. Then within a second you can surrender to Krishna. But if the anarthas are remaining too long, then the surrender cannot take place, you know. It's slowing down the pro. It's like not lifting the anchor when you go with the boat. Like the wedding, there was a wedding party. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura told the story. They had a boat and they had a wedding party and they were going with the boat in the evening, and then the sun set already and they didn't realize that they didn't pull the anchor. And then the sun was coming up again in the morning. It was a long journey, by the way, a long journey. So then they saw they were still at the same place. They hadn't moved an inch. They forgot to pull up the anchor. So the anchor, that is our desires for sense gratification, unwanted desires, attachments, the material thing. So the surrender can take place if we gradually, Srila Prabhupada, or Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, by detachment and practice, it's possible. Because Arjuna adopted a little bit. You have described to me such a difficult things. Yoga, detachment, it's too much. The mind is like the wind, you can't control it. And then Krishna says, yes, I know it's difficult, but it's not impossible. And then he says, by practice, by detachment. So we have to, step by step, we have to go. Like that. But you can also see it in a different way. You can say to surrender in a moment, or not, that moment takes place every moment. We got every moment a new moment opportunity, because there is always the question, shall I surrender to Krishna or shall I not surrender to Krishna? This opportunity comes all the time, all day long, all our life. And so that means that all these moments we get a chance to try it again. Okay, let's try this moment right now. Like that, you know. All these moments are golden opportunity to try again. Shall I now fully surrender to Krishna? And then it doesn't work. Okay, wait, I got another moment. Let's try it again. And in this way, Nehabikramanashusti, Krishna's comforting us that just a small advancement on this path can save us. There's no loss, no diminution. It can save us from the greatest fear, type of fear. And so we are already blessed like anything. But surrender. Okay. I think we should stop now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.